What is good, my pod peeps? This is the Matty Moles Podcast, and I am coming back to you one more time with the third installment out of four to help get you ready for your fantasy football drafts. Today, we're going to be covering the wide receiver position. Now, this, again, is going to be broken down into tiers. Elite, excellent, very good, and good. Now, the wide receiver position is very deep, although there are just a couple of players that are in the elite status, and most of the value can be had in later rounds, as evidenced by what I will talk about with the half-point PPR scoring. Now, shout out to No Copyright Sounds for providing the background music. Shout out to CBS Sports, Fantasy Football Calculator, and Fantasy Outsiders for providing me with all of my statistics that we'll be talking about in this podcast. Again, my name is Matty Moles. You can follow me on Twitter at Matty Moles Pod. That's MattyMulls Pod. And you can also find me on Facebook.com/MattyMulls Pod. All right. Without further ado, let's get to it. All right, heading into the elite receivers. Now, there's no drama that's going to be at the top of this list. Well, maybe at the 3-4 position. But number one, we have Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, he is 30, and he is the second oldest player that I have on this list. But he's been a madman in producing fantasy output in his career. Last year, he led the league with 1,533 receiving yards while catching, wow, 101 balls on 163 targets. And that's a pretty crazy amount of targets in that offense with a lot of mouths to feed. But he did have 9 touchdowns. And anytime you have a wide receiver that's flirting with 10 touchdowns or more, that's some serious fantasy production. He led all receivers with 18.13 fantasy points per game last year. And I'm going to go ahead and get off of this soapbox, except the last thing I will mention is that according to Fantasy Outsiders, Pittsburgh ranked number one in adjusted sack rate in the league. So Ben Roethlisberger, he's not as mobile as he once was, but he doesn't really have to be. There are tons of weapons in that offense, and a great offensive line will allow Antonio Brown to get downfield and beat double teams as they come. Number two, if you remember on my quarterback podcast, I talked about Deshaun Watson being my number one quarterback, and a large reason for that is none other than DeAndre Hopkins of the Houston Texans. Now, Nuke hasn't even hit his prime yet, but he's starting to. He's 26 years old. And crazily enough, he has an average draft position, according to Fantasy Football Calculator, of 11. He scored 17.52 fantasy points per game last year, which was only 0.6 points less than Antonio Brown. That's not too significant of a drop-off. He had 174 targets in only 15 games, and he had 13 touchdowns in those games. Now, mind you, him and Deshaun Watson were clicking last year. If Deshaun Watson doesn't get hurt, we could see 20 touchdowns out of DeAndre Hopkins. It's reasonable. He has a fairly easy division when it comes to defense against the wide receiver position, except for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But 2 weeks does not a season make, and the Houston Texans should be rolling on offense this year. The third receiver out of four I have in the elite category is Julio Jones of the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I know a lot of people are like, what are you thinking having him over a certain wide receiver in New York? Well, Julio Jones, all he does is catch for over 1,400 yards every season that he's healthy. And he did appear in 16 games last year. Now, he did all this production on only 88 receptions. Would it be nice if that reception number got up closer to 100? Absolutely. But that shows that he's still a deep threat guy. And they can utilize him in any part of the route tree. Now, Matt Ryan had a down year last year that was nowhere near his neck-breaking pace of his MVP campaign. But I expect some positive regression to hit the Atlanta Falcons passing offense this season. And actually, adding Calvin Ridley to the middle of the field should put more stress on the safeties and allow more one-on-one matchups with Julio Jones on the outside. Additionally, I expect to see some positive regression in the touchdown department, as he only had 3 touchdowns on the entire season. It's kind of crazy to think about the absolute specimen that Julio Jones is, but he only had 3 touchdowns. That's got to change, and I think it will change. And what's even more bananas is that you can get him with the second pick in the second round. Now, at 4, I have a guy who's going one position or one draft pick higher than Julio Jones, and that's Odell Beckham of the New York Football Giants. He only appeared in 4 games last year, but he averaged 15.18 fantasy points per game, which was good for 3rd best in the league. The one issue, though, Saquon Barkley is now on the team. Sterling Shepard has had an additional year to get better. Evan Ingram is going into his sophomore campaign. There are a lot of mouths to feed in that offense. That's not to say Odell Beckham Jr. won't be as effective, but he may not have the numbers that he previously had. Crazily enough, on 4 games, he caught 3 touchdown passes. And if you extrapolate that across the entire season, he would have had the 2nd most receiving touchdowns in football. All right, so wrapping up my elite category, I have Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers, DeAndre Hopkins of the Houston Texans, Julio Jones of the Atlanta Falcons, and Odell Beckham Jr. of the New York Football Giants. All right, so we got through the wide receivers that are elite. And now we're going to move into the excellent category. Starting with Keenan Allen of the Los Angeles Chargers. Gone is Antonio Gates. Gone, unfortunately, is Hunter Henry in that offense. Who else is going to be the guy that Phillip Rivers relies on those 3rd down and 6s, down in the red zone, on key drives when they got to get the momentum back? As good of a quarterback as Phillip Rivers is, he does tend to lock on one guy far too often, and that's only going to benefit Keenan Allen this season. Now, going into last year, I predicted that Keenan Allen would be a top 5 wide receiver. Not everybody agreed with me, but Keenan Allen's production definitely did, as he was the number 4 wide receiver in fantasy points per game behind Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, and Odell Beckham Jr., although Odell only appeared in 4 games. Keenan Allen appeared in 16 games. So you could argue that he was the 3rd best or even 2nd best wide receiver to draft going into last year. The interesting thing about him is that he's going number 21 overall or towards the bottom half of the 2nd round. So roster construction, if you want to play that game, you can get a top tier running back or Antonio Brown and then come back around in the second and get Keenan Allen as your wide receiver one or potentially wide receiver two. That's a pretty good position to be in. Now, he had 1,300 receiving yards, and he also had 6 touchdowns. There's no reason to expect him to stay at 1,300 receiving yards, as he's going to be a more important part of their offense. And that 6 touchdown number should get up closer to 9 or 10 on the season. The second receiver I have in the excellent category is Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints. I mentioned earlier in my quarterback pod that the New Orleans Saints have made a greater emphasis on running the football last year. Drew Brees had one of his worst overall fantasy seasons of his career, although he was highly efficient. They may rely on Michael Thomas a little bit more in the passing game for the early part of the season while Mark Ingram is suspended. But Michael Thomas was a stud anyway last year. He caught 104 passes for 1,200 yards and 5 touchdowns. He did so on 149 targets. That number was 4th best in football. That is pretty remarkable stuff for a team who wasn't putting much of an emphasis on throwing the ball last year. Obviously, Drew Brees trusts him, and Drew Brees is going to let him go make plays. Another receiver I have in the excellent category is Davante Adams of the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay's offense was abysmal last year, even in stretches when Aaron Rodgers was playing. But gone is Jordy Nelson, and potentially gone is Randall Cobb. A reason for that? Davante Adams has carved himself out to be the number one option in Green Bay. Now, I am unsure if he'll be able to replicate his 10 receiving touchdowns, which was second best in the league. It's crazy to think about with Aaron Rodgers missing so much time. And that is because Jimmy Graham has brought his services into town. And we all know that Aaron Rodgers loves to hit his tight end. But Davante Adams should be able to eclipse 1,000 receiving yards. I put him at 1,200 receiving yards on about 90 receptions with about 130 targets. I don't know if negative regression is coming for receiving touchdowns or not, but either way you slice it, Davante Adams deserves to be in the top 10 of your wide receiver list. The next receiver I have in the excellent category is T.Y. Hilton of the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck is back. Now, they haven't really had much of an opportunity to show what Andrew Luck can do and showcase what their offense can do. But T.Y. Hilton is the modern-day version of Torrey Holt. And when Andrew Luck was healthy, in Andrew Luck's last healthy season, T.Y. Hilton led the NFL in receiving yards. I fully expect T.Y. Hilton to bounce back, and he's actually being drafted later than he should be at 27 overall, which is the 3rd pick in the 3rd round. Ridiculous for a guy who has the upside to potentially lead the NFL in receiving yards while giving you 8 to 10 touchdowns on the season. Moving on, I have AJ Green of the Cincinnati Bengals. AJ finally proved to stay healthy last year, playing in 16 games. But due to mediocre quarterback play and really no solid game plan on offense, his overall numbers struggled. He still had over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns and still was the beneficiary of 143 targets. The issue was he only had a 52% catch percentage, a far cry from the elite mid to high 60 range that some of his counterparts have. Now, if those efficiency numbers can go up while AJ still has the similar workload, you could be sitting pretty at getting him at his ADP of 23. The next wide receiver I have in the excellent category, and the final one in this category, is Doug Baldwin of the Seattle Seahawks. Paul Richardson and Jimmy Graham are gone from that offense. There isn't a bell cow running back that they're going to be able to rely on in Seattle. And their defense should not be, they should have a significant drop off this year in defensive production. What does that mean? Game script is going to make Russell Wilson have to run for his life and make plays all over the field to try to catch up. Doug Baldwin thrives in that type of scenario. He did have under 1,000 yards receiving, but he had 8 touchdowns. You could see an increase in production from him, but he was, only a point off of where AJ Green was. 0.4 points off of the production that AJ Green had last season. All right, so to wrap up my excellent category, I have Keenan Allen of the Los Angeles Chargers, Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints, Devontae Adams of the Green Bay Packers, T.Y. Hilton of the Indianapolis Colts, and A.J. Green of the Cincinnati Bengals, wrapping up with Doug Baldwin of the Seattle Seahawks at my number 10 overall wide receiver. All right. We are a third of the way through this thing. And I just got to shout out my boys at Tavor. They are not they're not sponsoring me on this, but I'm grateful for their service anyhow. I am drinking a Matchless Juice Bomb Units collaboration IPA, and it is phenomenal. Pretty simple service, y'all. If you just download the app, they'll show you some featured beers, and you can add them to your crate for $4.99 per month. That's the shipping fee for the entire crate. They will send it to your house, and drinking your way to victory or in defeat has never been easier. So shout out to them. I am going to just take a swig real quick, and then we will get down to business with the very good category. Now, this is my receivers 11 through 19. Ranging anywhere from the third to the fifth, round. All right, let's get cracking. So, at number 11, I have a guy that I was really high on last year, but incompetency at the quarterback position and overall just that offense struggling to find an identity limited his upside. I've got Mike Evans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's going 25th, which is the first pick in the third round. So, man, if you have a top-tier pick, if you have like a top-five pick, you're coming around in that third round and you're able to get a legitimate guy in Mike Evans who could potentially be your wide receiver too. again, a lot of these receivers that I'm mentioning in this top half, they were guys that maybe regressed a little bit or maybe let some folks down. And who knows, maybe they potentially fall a little later than where they should just based off of burning a few people last year. Mike Evans was a guy that people used with a top flight second round pick or even potentially in the back end of the first round. I got burned by him, but I will go back to the well again, especially in the third round for Mike Evans. Now, it's crazy to think about how he kind of let some folks down, but he still had over 1,000 yards receiving. He still had 5 touchdowns. And he still had 136 targets, so the opportunity was there. But his 52.2 catch percentage, that is receptions divided by targets, was pretty abysmal. With improved quarterback play, could see his efficiency go up and could see him get closer to the 12 or 13 fantasy points per game output that would put him right on par with Michael Thomas and Devontae Adams. Moving on to my next two receivers, and I'm going to mention them both together because they both play together in Minnesota. That's right, I'm talking about Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs of the Vikings. They were both very similar in their output as far as fantasy points per game. Thielen had 12.13 in the half point PPR, and Stephon Diggs had 11.78. Thielen only had 4 receiving touchdowns compared to Diggs' 8, but he had nearly 400 more receiving yards, and he had nearly 30 more receptions. Now, that's a little bit slanted because Diggs only played in 14 games compared to Thielen's 16. But Thielen also took a while to come onto the scene last year. And after the first quarter of the season was over, he was a must-play every week. Now, he's going as a low-end wide receiver 1, very high-end wide receiver number 2. He's going in the 4th round at 38 overall. A whole 7 picks, or a half round, behind his counterpart, Stephon Diggs. Be interesting to see what that relationship looks like with Kirk Cousins coming to town. But that Minnesota offense should be pretty fun to watch. If Adam Thielen can get his touchdown numbers up, or if Stephon Diggs can stay healthy for a full 16 games, either one of those guys could be flirting with a top 7 or top 6 type of performance this season. Moving on to number 14 in my rankings and getting towards the middle of my very good tier is the newly acquired Jarvis Landry of the Cleveland Browns. Now, just like Mike Evans and Odell Beckham Jr., he's only 25 years old, but he seems like he's been catching 100 balls plus in the NFL for a half decade now. He led the league in receptions with 112 catches, but he only had 987 yards on 161 targets. Now, the 161 targets is pretty amazing, but, and this 9 touchdowns was definitely an increase from the, I want to say, 3 touchdowns the season before. But his ADOT was pretty low playing in that Miami offense, as they pretty much used him on screens and quick slants, which elevated his number of receptions. Well, in Cleveland, they're going to move him outside, which is going to give him more of an opportunity to showcase his skills. His receiving yards should go up, His efficiency numbers should go down. He did have a 69.6 catch percentage, which is insane. But overall, I think his fantasy production increases a bit. And at averaging 12.79 fantasy points per game last year, that's saying quite a bit. That Cleveland offense should be fun. Well, another guy who had 161 targets last year and over 100 receptions was Larry Fitzgerald of the Arizona Cardinals. He's 34 years old, and we keep waiting for the wheels to fall off, but all the man does is produce. He had 1,156 receiving yards on 109 receptions for a 67.7% catch rate. Now, if you're comparing this to Jarvis Landry, Larry Fitzgerald wasn't much less efficient than Landry, but he averaged nearly 2 yards more per reception than Landry and 1.1 yards more per target. So they were utilizing him downfield more in this offense. Now, three of the next four guys I'm going to talk about are AFC West guys, and I'm going to start with Amari Cooper of the Oakland Raiders. He's 24 years old, and he let a lot of people down last year. But if Chucky is being honest with everyone, then we should see Amari Cooper thrive in that offense. Now, I know he's a little young for what Chucky likes. He's only 24 years old, so he's got about another 8 to 10 years before he's right in that sweet spot for Coach Gruden. But his numbers, while being, you know, not as good as what you would like, he still did amass 14.2 yards per reception and 7 touchdowns on the season last year. More effective Derek Carr, maybe beast mode, forcing defenses to pay attention in the box. Who knows? Maybe we have some one-on-one matchups for Amari Cooper, and that could lead to some fantasy goodness. Speaking about Oakland and being able to throw the ball downfield, Oakland did rank 7th in adjusted sack rate, according to Fantasy Outsiders. What does this mean? This means that there should be plenty of time for plays to develop. And Coach Gruden, he is a very complex offense. Very complex offense. And he does have a lot of downfield wrinkles into that offense. The next guy I have, speaking about downfield threats, is the cheetah, Tyreek Hill of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is also 24 years old, but he averaged 13.05 points per game last year while appearing in 15 games. He had 7 total touchdowns and 1,183 yards receiving. Crazily enough, he had 105 targets on the season, and most people don't think that he amassed that many. But what I found very interesting was a 71.4% catch percentage, so he's highly efficient, on 15.8 yards per reception or 11.3 yards per target. This tells me that they utilized him downfield a lot or set him up in plays where he could operate in space quite frequently. And he was able to do all of that at a highly efficient rate. The efficiency of Patrick Mahomes is going to make or break Tyreek Hill's value this season. And I only have him as my 17th wide receiver strictly due to that question mark. Alex Smith was very good last year and highly underrated. Moving on to my next wide receiver is a guy that only had one catch and he got hurt and he was out at the very beginning of the season. And that is Allen Robinson of the Chicago Bears, of the revamped Chicago Bears offense. They're going to surround Mitchell Trubisky with a lot of weapons. Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton. They drafted Anthony Miller. Kevin White is coming back. I don't know how long he's going to play. Tariq Cohen. Jordan Howard is a legitimate running back. There is a lot going on in that offense. Well, opposing defenses aren't going to be able to just bracket cover Allen Robinson. This is a guy that going into last year or the year before, people were projecting to be a perennial top 10 wide receiver. Well, if him and Trubisky can click, then the Windy City should have a pretty nice combo and also potentially a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. Allen Robinson is going in the fifth round at pick 55. At number 20, and finishing off my very good category, is Demaryius Thomas of the Denver Broncos. In a down season with horrible quarterback play by all three quarterbacks, Demaryius Thomas was just a hair under 1,000 yards receiving, but he caught 83 balls and 5 touchdowns. Case Keenum is relying on him a lot in the preseason, but Emmanuel Sanders is also looking good. I think the days of Demaryius Thomas completely taking the top off of a defense are over. Demaryius is 30 years old after all, but doesn't mean that Demaryius can't be awfully good in the red zone, a chain mover, and a guy who's a force to be reckoned with the ball in his hands. So, to wrap up my very good category, I have Mike Evans of the Bucks, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs of the Vikings, Jarvis Landry of the Cleveland Browns, the old man Larry Fitzgerald, who is still bawling out of his mind, Amari Cooper of the Oakland Raiders, Tyreek Hill of the Kansas City Chiefs, Allen Robinson of the Chicago Bears, and Demaryius Thomas of the Denver Broncos. All right. We will finish up the second half after this. All right, everybody, you know what time it is. This is the third installation of my draft preview podcast series, and also the third potential chance that you have to win potential Madden codes or even money for the DraftKings Millie Maker that's going to be starting in week one. So all you got to do is like this pod, follow me, retweet this, and then slide into the DMs and say the mystery word. And so this mystery word is business, because I got Antonio Brown number one, and business is booming for him. So again, the mystery word for this episode is business. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming. Okay. So we're on the back end, the final third, if you will, of my wide receiver podcast. We're going to be starting at number 20. All these guys are in the good range because they're not really expected to be your wide receiver number one. They could be a very solid wide receiver number two or a phenomenal wide receiver three. All right. This is going to kind of go rapid fire. I'm going to mention the player, and I'm going to mention a couple of snippets about him, and what I like, what I dislike, and why they're not higher, and then we'll just move on. So at number 20, I've got Fantasy Kryptonite for most fantasy players, especially those in Dynasty, and I'm talking about Flash, Josh Gordon of the Cleveland Browns. He had to take some time off to get mentally ready, get emotionally ready, get himself back into the right frame of mind. But he hasn't been getting critical reps with either Baker Mayfield or Tyrod, which is really weird to say, but apparently that's how you say it. Taylor. Jarvis Landry's been able to get those reps. Rashard Higgins has gotten the reps. David Njoku. Duke Johnson. All of these players are able to get really valuable reps. And Josh Gordon has been nowhere to be found. But he's back. I look for him 3-4 weeks into the season to be finally back, ready to roll. And he has make or break fantasy upside. The issue is his average draft position is in the fourth round. Ugh, that is entirely too high. Granted, it's the last pick in the fourth round, but still, I don't think he's a great value there. But if he slides a little bit, say into the fifth or even the sixth round, you've got to take him. I think by name recognition, he goes a little higher than he should, though. Another guy who's a boomer bust candidate is Corey Davis, the second-year man out of Tennessee. He has an average draft position of 69, which I think is great. I think that's right in line with where he should be. The sixth round, you have a guy who has shown spurts of being an elite receiver when he gets the opportunity. I like Corey Davis. I'm very bullish on him, but don't overreach. Don't take him in the fourth round or even the beginning of the fifth round. If you're at the back end of the fifth round or even the sixth round, I think that's great value for him in a Tennessee offense that should start opening things up a little bit more than just exotic smash mouth there in Nashville. All right, Juju Smith-Schuster is my next receiver number 22 of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's only 21 years old, and he has proven to be the counterpart to Antonio Brown that Martavis Bryant has failed to be, and which is the reason why Bryant is gone from the Steel City. Now, they did use high draft capital on James Washington, but that doesn't scare me off of Smith-Schuster. He looks phenomenal in preseason. He's winning 50-50 balls. He's got deceptive speed, similar to Antonio Brown. He's very, very solid. And if you got him as your wide receiver too, you should feel pretty safe. You're in good hands there. At 23 and 24, I have a couple of Detroit Lions, and that's Golden Tate and Marvin Jones. Tate is the guy who's going to get a lot of receptions. Jones is the big play receiver. Surprisingly, Tate only had 5 touchdowns on the season while Marvin Jones had 9. And that proved to be the big difference between the two in their production. As Marvin Jones scored 12.16 and Tate scored 10.96 fantasy points per game. Now, they're both in that same tier, in that same level of importance in that Lions offense. And it doesn't seem to be that the Lions are able to run the football as of yet. Now, with them bringing in LeGarrette Blount, should hurt some of the fantasy production in the red zone, especially when you get closer to the goal line. But Tate and Jones, very, very good wide receivers to get as your wide receiver two. Moving on, I have a guy who is a solid wide receiver two. I don't have him as a wide receiver one, although his fantasy stock is rising, and that is Chris Hogan of the New England Patriots. He's in his prime right now, 29 years old, but he's also the number one target that Tom Brady is going to be looking to when he's trying to hit a wide receiver down the field. Gronk, you never know what's going to happen with his health, but Chris Hogan is a pretty reliable guy, especially for a strong stretch there at the beginning of the season for Tom Brady. He had 10.1 fantasy points per game. He only appeared in nine games, though. And so health can be an issue, but it looks to be all systems go for Hogan. I just think that he's going to be taken a little higher than he should. But if you can get him in the fifth round, that's perfect value for him. A guy of great value is who I have next, and that's Will Fuller of the Houston Texans. So I love Deshaun Watson. I love Nuke, and I also love Will Fuller. In games that Will Fuller was playing in with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, Fuller just balled out. Problem with him is he only appeared in 10 games last year. But in those 10 games, he had 7 touchdowns. And while touchdowns are very volatile, if you have that type of chemistry with your quarterback and you're able to take the top off a defense, and oh, by the way, you have arguably the second best wide receiver in football playing opposite of you, you're going to have a lot of opportunities to make big plays. And I think Will Fuller falls right into that. And if you can get him as a wide receiver 3, you will be in phenomenal shape there. Next, I have Brandon Cooks of the Los Angeles Rams at 27. Interesting story for him. He did get his big contract extension with the Rams before Aaron Donald did, which I know didn't make him very happy, him being Aaron Donald. But Brandon Cooks has played with Drew Brees and Tom Brady, and now he's getting to play with Jared Goff, who is an up-and-coming stud at the quarterback position. They have all kinds of talent on that offense. Brandon Cooks allows them to throw the ball downfield at probably a better rate than what they did when they were trying to get Sammy Watkins involved. Cooks had a 57% catch percentage, which puts him alongside guys like Marvin Jones and Chris Hogan. He had 7 touchdowns on the season in 16 games, and it was a pretty solid campaign for him, but most of his production only came in a couple of separate weeks. I'd like to see more sustained production out of him for the long term, but he should be given every opportunity to succeed in that offense. Moving on, I have Pierre Garçon of the San Francisco 49ers. He was kind of a letdown overall. He didn't score a touchdown all season. He got hurt and was put on the IR, and he's on the wrong side of 30 at 32. What he does have going for him, he's the wide receiver 1 in a Kyle Shanahan offense. And Kyle Shanahan loves to get his wide receiver 1 involved. There's a better quarterback playing now out by the bay in Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think Pierre Garçon should get 1,000 yards receiving or close to it, and anywhere from 6 to 8 touchdowns, which is very good value for where you can get him, all the way down in the 10th round. Next, at 29, I have Emmanuel Sanders of the Denver Broncos. He's also on the wrong side of 30, but he's looking very good in preseason and is showing a rapport with Case Keenum. I'm not really going to talk a lot about Emmanuel Sanders' stats, except for the fact that he only played in 12 games. Now, he has to stay healthy because your best ability is your availability. But if he can stay healthy in that offense, with Case Keenum playing more effective at the quarterback position, Emmanuel Sanders should start playing like a wide receiver 2. The reason why I have him lower is all the question marks that are surrounding that Denver Broncos offense. But you could see Manny be back in the thick of things as a very valuable fantasy contributor. And then wrapping things up at 30 in my good category, I have Jamison Crowder of the Washington Redskins. Him, like Pierre Garçon, has an average draft position in the 10th round. But his fantasy production, 8.26 points per game for 15 games, leaves you with a good flex option or a very valuable plug and play based on matchups option out of Washington. Additionally, Alex Smith is there, who's more effective than, or more efficient rather, than Kirk Cousins was. And Alex Smith likes to hit his slot receiver. By everything I'm hearing, in camp, is that Crowder looks good and they plan on getting him involved early and often. All right, that wraps up my good category. I'm going to rapid fire all of my wide receivers in case you haven't been taking notes. Elite, I've got Brown, Hopkins, Jones, Beckham Jr. Excellent, I've got Allen, Michael Thomas, Devontae Adams, T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green, and Doug Baldwin. Very good category. I've got Evans, Thielen and Diggs, Landry, Fitzgerald, Cooper, Hill, Allen Robinson, and Demaryius Thomas. And then finally, in this good category, I've got Gordon, Davis, Smith-Schuster, Tate, and Jones, Hogan, Fuller, Cooks, Garcon, Emmanuel Sanders, and Jamison Crowder. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope this helps you get prepared for setting up your core of your team. Just think about tiers. My parting thoughts will be that most of these receivers outside of Antonio Brown can be had at the end of the first round, beginning part of the second round. If I'm thinking about roster construction, though, I'm trying to get two running backs early and then trying to pound some of these receivers in rounds 3, 4, and 5, which there's a lot of value to be had. There's not much of a difference, honestly, in fantasy point per game production. Some guys like Larry Fitzgerald scored 12.82 points last year, which was only 0.09 fantasy points per game different than Michael Thomas. And you can get him for a whole 2 rounds later. So I personally would go running back, and then come back and go wide receiver, and depending on your league, potentially wide receiver again in the 5th round. All right. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Matty Moles Podcast or at Matty Moles Pod. That's MattyMulls Pod. I'll also be posting articles and such on Facebook.com/MattyMulls Pod. And please, if you like this podcast, leave me a like, leave me a 5-star review, follow me on Twitter, retweet this tweet. Any of your support is greatly appreciated. And yeah, let's get to cashing and making some serious money this fantasy football season.